Hello, brothers and sisters. It's Jonathan Ritter. Hope you guys are having a good weekend. Down here in Louisiana, we got some sunshine. Looks like it's going to be a pretty day today. I don't know where you guys are at. I hope you guys are experiencing the same thing, and then you can get out of the house and just walk around a little bit and just soak in that sun and that air and realize that God's got all of this. And as always, from the beginning to the end, God knows everything, and He will take care of His children. There's no doubt. If you look within the contents of the Bible, He will take care of His children. And today I want to look at James 4:13 through 17. I preach on this sermon several times. Felt led to preach on it today. You know, the thing is we don't know if today is our last day on this earth. And to me, that's, you know, when I wake up in the morning, it's a blessing for me to get up and move, even though, you know, I'm getting older and the pains and the aches increase, it seems like, every year. But one thing I thank God is for another morning, and just on another morning, just to see my wife, and I got a cute little dog I love. And but it's also to realize I have another day to reach out to whoever God places in my life to talk to and to witness to and to offer a hope. To me, that's the hope that we have in our hearts is so amazing and so wonderful. And I never want to lose sight of that. Yeah, I preached on this sermon a few times. I do have an outline here, but what we're going to do is we're going to get in. First, I want to, of course, give an illustration, and then we'll go from the illustration to the scripture, and then, of course, prayer. And then I'll go into the body of it. I never knew a morning such as I experienced as a kid or teenager. It's probably one of the darkest moments in my life. To find a dead body laying on the floor. A person I was really connected with within my childhood, that I looked up to. To see that and to feel my heart to break in pieces as I tried to revive this person, which was my uncle. He was kind of like my second dad. Got me through quite a few juvenile delinquent periods in my life. Now I'm gone. No longer to breathe on this earth. No longer to hear his words. His encouragement to keep on moving on. As I try to revive my uncle, and my heart just broke in my chest to feel the cold body and the lifeless person or body that was there now. At that point in my time, I asked myself a serious question. What is this life? What is this life? And so brief. And of course, as a kid, I never really understood the significance of really what this life means. It should point to Jesus, because he is the true reason for living. Within our passage today that we're reading is James 4:13 through 17. James starts out in 13 and goes like this, guys. And go to now, ye that saved today or to tomorrow. We will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought say, if the Lord will, we shall live and go do this or that. Verse 16. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that know to do good and do it not, to him it is a sin. As you guys bow with me, Heavenly Father, we just come today just thanking you for another opportunity, Lord, to cling to your words, to draw hope from your words. Know that there's a love that we can't even truly define through the blood that was shed on Calvary of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. And that he was removed and placed in that tomb and he rose. And one day we will meet him again and we will not feel no more pain or sorrow or hurt or grief. We will not have to experience loss of a loved one or the hard burdens of this life that can pile on our heads like a ton of bricks till we can't move and we're praying for help or we're looking for help, Lord. I pray, Lord, as I go through this message, Lord, that you just guide me, you direct me, and whoever needs to hear this message, Lord, I pray, Lord, you open their hearts. I pray you open their eyes. I pray you open their ears. I pray this message goes into their hearts and through the Holy Spirit changes their lives in a way that shows honor and glory to you, Lord. I lay my life at your feet and I surrender my life to you, Lord, and pray that you use me in this message. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Within this passage we have James. And through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, James tells us, life is short. You know, I go over this and I think about it, you know, and there's quite a few thoughts that run through my mind. And one of those questions, and I would like to ask you guys this question or have you ponder this question. If you were to die tonight, where would you spend eternity? You see, this life is short. This life is uncontrollable. And this life is a gift from God. And truly, when we close our eyes tonight, or and we may not open our eyes to this world again. We're not promised tomorrow. We're promised today as we wake up. And what are we doing in this life? You see, James, when he looked across his audience, he's seen the same thing that is going on today within our world and within our nation. People are running around thinking they have forever. But that is a deceptive lie by Satan, for he is the father of all lies. He is a thief. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He's a roaring lion seeking who he may devour, that is to rip a pieces. You know, I watch Discovery Channels and you watch these animals and there's one show that's called The Hunt. And The Hunt is a documentary on how the predator and prey scenario goes. And when one has the lions and when they're hunting, you know, if you don't really very aware, the female lion does most of the hunting. And when they do, there's no mercy. They or grace within there, they have their survival instinct is to destroy that animal and to rip it shred by shred. And this is the devil and his demons. They want to rip you from shred to shred. They don't want you to have anything left. But you see, the Holy Spirit lives in each and other of us believers, that we have a power within our hearts and with our mind. And if we just realize that, we can realize the devil has no control over us. It's only the control that we allow him to have. But I want you guys to just ponder that. If you die tonight, where will you spend eternity? Because this life is short. It's uncontrollable, and it is a gift from God. As we look in James 4, let's look at the verse 13 here. And 14. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow. For your life, it is even a vapor that appears for a little while, or a little time, and then vanishes away. You know, when I'm doing this sermon in person, I normally keep a like spray bottle or something, and I will squirt it. And I've seen this from a preacher that did it. And you squirt that mist, and it's there for like only maybe a millisecond, maybe a second. It's gone. And that's what James is telling us today in one part of this, that life is short. It is brief. You know, we go around, and I was guilty of this for a long time, majority of my life, of thinking I have forever. Thinking the other day, and saying, oh, well, I got this plan for tomorrow, and I got this plan for next year. I want to see myself doing this. And there's nothing really wrong with planning out your future. But when we realize that we can make plans all we want, but the plans don't mean nothing if we don't have Jesus within the focus of that plan. You can say, well, I'm planning to get a house, and when I get this big house, I'm planning to, if Lord willing, I'm going to have Bible studies with the house so I can show glory to God for that house. Because in a year, we don't know where we would be, or if we are even still alive in a year. See, life is so brief, guys. And we can get very caught up in the moment of realizing or fooling ourselves or allowing Satan to fool us, thinking we have forever, and we don't. It's deceptive. One of the tools that the devil loves to use is always, and you may guys have already heard this from one of my sermons, is busy. That's B, capital B, capital U, capital S, capital Y. That is being under Satan's yoke. You can be so busy that you can't see all the opportunities around you to be that light to someone that really needs it. And trust me, guys, when you back away from what you have to do that day, yes, you got these plans, but you must put God in center of the day. And when you put God in the center of the day, He provides opportunities for you to witness. We got to quit being so busy and realize this life is brief. The only thing that's truly is going to matter when we die. And if we don't see the rapture before then, the physical death, we will experience and we will see Jesus. And at that point in time, we will spiritually live or spiritually die. In that sense, were we really a child of God? And I have several messages on salvation. You guys can click those on these links. I've done a few Facebook lives now on salvation. You can hit those. I give the whole plan of salvation, just not a part of the plan that most evangelists and preachers do, and then they skip the other part of it. Yes, saying I do to Christ and recognizing his birth, his death, his burial, his resurrection. But the thing is, within the contents of that, recognizing all that and truly accepting it into your heart, you should become a new person, meaning the old habits pass away. You're not clinging to, and sin within your life grieves you. So when you mess up, the Holy Spirit, which is now in you, Jesus said that is the comforter. It corrects you. The Bible clearly tells us that he corrects those that he loves. Basically, he says he chastises those that he loves. And paraphrasing in a sense that those that is not his, they are what Paul tells us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that they are bastards. They are not his sons. They say sons, but that includes sons and daughters. In a nutshell, you know, being changed and going out there and doing and becoming a disciple and a soldier for Jesus. And the end game is, of course, when Jesus comes back, we will get our glorified bodies and we will be like him in full spirit, right? I think one of the glory, I'll say full spirit, but the glimpse of that is when Jesus is rose and he's kind of physical and spiritual. That's kind of like a glorified body, but he could actually grab stuff and eat, and so it's hard to describe that, but we could say that is a glorified body. So we really clearly don't understand what a glorified body is. We only kind of get a glimpse in, but what we know about a glorified body is that we will no longer feel pain, and we will no longer feel sorrow, and we will no longer feel grief. And to me, that's a beautiful thing. And in time, we'll not really have a restraint on us as it does now. And we need to realize life is uncontrollable. From conception to death, we don't have no control over our lives. We have this illusion that we do. But God has a plan for everyone. Every one of us. A lot of times we think that we have control of our lives, and that is just a illusion. We are not in control of nothing. If you look at verse 15 and 16 here, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. What James is saying here through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is this. Yes, live your life. But recognize your life is not your life. The control that you believe that you have in your life is deceptive. The only control that you truly have is to give God fully your life and let him have control over it and just let things go as they go. Yes, we plan for things. That's, you know, but our plans, when they're interrupted, you know, you go to college and you're planning to be a doctor or a lawyer or a vet or a, you know, a manager or engineer. That's your plans. That may not be the plan that God has for you. You know, as in my life, you know, I went to school and I got my psych degree and I went to graduate school working on my master's. Eventually it's going to lead to my PhD. But, you know, I had this concept in my mind that I was going to be a psychologist or a college professor writing papers and dissertations and doctorings and all this, and then I would have a nice comfortable job and have a nice income. All that was my plans. But you see, within my life, God interrupted my plans. Instead of me going that route, he told me, no, you're not going that route. I need you to preach the gospel. I don't need you to go into the academic field in the sense of psychology or being a psychologist. I need you to be a preacher of my gospel. I need you to break down, use that academic knowledge I have given you to break down scriptures and yield your life to me by yielding to the Holy Spirit to allow him to teach me, to be the ultimate teacher and guide to help me break down scriptures that you can't get at no school or no seminary. You know, people that go seminary, they come out, I'm not saying all of them, but They're boastful and thinking they know something. In a sense, I love education. I took a few seminary classes, but in the end, that don't mean nothing unless you're allowing the Holy Spirit to operate in your life and to guide you and direct you. And He tells you what you learn in seminary ain't correct. It's not correct. No man trumps God. If they tell you something contrary to the scripture that's in the Bible and they can't explain themselves, don't lay over and take it. Be bold and tell them, no, the Bible says this, you are wrong. And they kick you out of school, well, it meant to be anyway. You don't need to be in that school if they can't preach the gospel or teach the gospel. Listen, guys, the gospel was written, in Jesus' words, that a child could understand it. He took 12 disciples, unlearned men, within the four gospels. And they turned the world upside down with no education other than being the ultimate, I guess, education. Well, I don't guess, I know, is Jesus Christ. And you see that Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, is Jesus Christ that is in us. We have the ultimate teacher that lives inside of us. If we just lean more on Him and let Him guide us and direct us through the Spirit, through prayer and just daily devotions and just leaning on Him and realize, God, I don't got this. You got this. Remember, this life is uncontrollable. And the plans of your life may not be the plans that God has for you. The third point I want to hit on here is we need to realize that life is a gift. Regardless of what this life tells you, every life matters. A baby in the mother womb, that is a life that is precious to God. It begins, well, God tells us He knew us before we were in our mother's womb. Life begins, even if you really get technical, before conception. But when people can look at life today with the abortion, and it's been going on, this thing hasn't just happened, it's been going on for probably maybe a decade or two decades. It's sad that we don't value life the way we need to value. And I encourage everybody. I am a very bold preacher of the gospel. I encourage people to get out there and picket the White House, whatever, and say life matters. Be for life. Because life matters to God and life should matter to us. And there's no reason for somebody to kill. I don't care how you want to accept clause in there, accept rape, accept incest. I won't tell you. Life matters regardless. Period. There's no exceptions. I know that's controversial, but God tells us in the scripture life matters. He don't say accept this, accept that. That is man's law, not God's law. He said all life matters, paraphrasing, all life matters. He said, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. All life matters to God. That's why all life should matter to us. Life is a gift, guys. I hit on it a little bit at the beginning of the sermon. Is there's two deaths. There is a physical death and there is a spiritual death. And if you're a child of God, if the rapture doesn't come before then, I believe we're very close that of Jesus coming back. The physical death is the only death that you will experience. The spiritual death will not happen. You will spiritually live because as a child of God, you are His. And when you go to see Him, when you die, He will know that you are His, and He will, because of that, He will allow you into heaven. But if you're not His, He will say, I never knew you, and you will go to hell. That is, a lost person will or a professing Christian that truly hasn't accepted him into their heart will go to hell. Hell is an awful place. I know Hollywood wants to glorify it and make it look less than what it is. Hell is a bad place, guys. I don't want nobody to go there. And a lost person or a one professing Christian truly not a Christian, they will experience two deaths, the physical death and the spiritual death. And they will spend their life in everlasting damnation. And those are gods. They will spend their life in everlasting life. As I close this sermon up, I just want to ask you guys this question, this most important question that I started with at the very beginning. If you were to die tonight, where would you spend eternity? You see, heaven is real, guys. So is hell. Hell's real too. And God wants every one of us in heaven with him. That's why he offers salvation to whoever will believe. He wants us to go to heaven. And like I said before, I have plenty of messages on salvation. You can click on, you hear this message, you can scroll down. I have a lot of them labeled as salvation part 1, part 2. So you can hit on those and you can listen to them. And on top of that, you can contact me on my website. I have a thing and I'll respond as soon as I've seen it, I'll respond to it. About what it means to be a child of God. The true, uncut message that is not being proclaimed in the pulpits today. As we conclude today, I want to stress today, could today be your last day on this earth? And if it was, do you know 100% where you're going? You know, as I look over my dead friend's body, my uncle, and my head just every which way, my world being shooken left and right, being hit with one of those hard lessons in life and the question, being hit with the reality that life is short, life is uncontrollable, life is a gift. From conception to death, we have a purpose in this life. Are we truly a child of God? That's why it's very important for you to understand salvation and to do daily prayers and reading your Bibles, just not on Sunday morning, but all through the week. And then I know we're going through this pandemic right now. A lot of us can't go into the church, but that will level out to somewhat where we can actually go in back into churches and talk to our pastors. Or if we don't have a pastor, we seek out a pastor. But to attend that Sunday morning disciple training, and then the Sunday morning service, and then the night discipleship, and that Wednesday night service. You know, and every day in between, our personal prayer life and our Bible study, which is very important, because tomorrow's not promised. And when we wake up, we have to focus on what God has for us that day, and don't let the devil create such a stir in our heads that we get so busy that we don't really see the purpose that God has for each and every one of his children. Tomorrow's not given, guys, as we've seen in the scripture. We are not in control of anything. Every breath that we breathe is a gift from God. And when we die this physical death, or if the Lord comes back, the only thing that will matter is, do you got Jesus? Do you got Jesus? Love you guys. Pray that you guys have a great weekend. Bow with me. Heavenly Father, as we come today, just thanking you for this message, thanking you for the words that you gave me to speak to whoever that needs to hear it, Lord. I know that you're in control. I know life is precious. I know this life is brief, as a vapor, as James tells us in the scripture, is here today and gone tomorrow. And we'll just say, Lord, that you just, whoever's here that's hearing this message, Lord, I pray that we're within the contents of this message through the Holy Spirit that inspired me to preach this only through the Holy Spirit, nothing of myself, because I am a wretched man. It's only the Holy Spirit that lives in me that gives the words of life to whoever that needs to hear it. I pray whoever hears these words, Lord, that it goes into their hearts and it opens their minds and it opens their eyes and it opens their ears and it changes them to be that disciple they need to be, that soldier, and then their hands become your hands and their feet becomes your feet, and they reach out to whoever's around them to give them that hope that this world is greatly needing. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen.